Welcome to Focus on the Community on Memories 107.9 WAMW and worldwide live from WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Schwartzentruber. Each week, we focus on a topic important to our community. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington and Ligonier. Well, I say every week that I'm excited about the show, but I think this time I actually mean it. I'm joined by a friend and a local elected official, Mike Myers. And Mike is running for elected office and re-election. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Grant. Thanks for having me, and thanks to WAMW for having me and doing these shows every week to inform the community.
Hey, happy to. And this is obviously an ongoing effort to educate the public about the various races that are going on in our county and in the surrounding areas. So let's get started here and maybe start by telling us a little bit about your background and some of your experience, Mike.
Well, I've lived in Davies County all my life except for 4 years in college at Indiana State University in Terre Haute. My family has lived here since before the Civil War, several generations back. And I'm married to Christine Myers. She's an English, a French and English teacher at Washington High School.
And she's a nice person, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I think so. I've been married to her for going on 17 years. So
she's a French teacher, is that right?
Yeah, French, English, and French, but she mainly teaches French. Okay. And she's not from around here, but she's lived here since about 28 years now, I guess. And we have two sons, Benjamin and Alexander, twin boys. They're seventh graders at Washington Junior High School. And people familiar with my work back when I worked at the paper full time, well, they've read about them, you know, literally since they were born. So I used to write columns about them back in those days. So they're a little bigger now. In fact, the one of them's my height, the one of them's taller than I am. So
I've seen them, and they look like they could be brothers, but they look pretty different.
They're fraternal twins, and it's pretty obvious that they're not identical. One's about 6'2" and redheaded, and one's about 5'9", 5'10", and blonde haired. So, but they're good boys. They're both good boys, and they have very different interests. But yeah, those are our two sons, and I work on the family farm, Arnie and Myers Farms, out by Cornetsville, which we farmed going back to before the Civil War, in that very same area, really. And I tell people, you know, that we've been here a long time, and I think that's impressive. But at the same time, I'll tell folks, well, it means we don't get out a lot. So, you know, we've stayed in that same area. But I say I'm a North Davies graduate and a graduate of Indiana State University.
Can you tell us when you graduated high school, Mike?
1986.
Okay.
And then 1990 from Indiana State. And my wife's a Purdue and ISU grad. She got her undergrad from Purdue and her master's from Indiana State. I worked for several years for the Times Herald, starting in 1999 through 2010.
And what did you do in that role, Mike?
Assistant sports editor. I worked first with Greg Sims and then for many years with Todd Lancaster, the current sports editor. We worked together and we got to cover the Hatchets and all their glory and heyday in basketball. And since I left the paper in 2010, when I ran for office and went back to the farm, I've continued to work for them as an independent contractor, as a correspondent, covering mainly Hatchet basketball and football, doing some other things too. So
you take a lot of photos, is that right?
Yeah, I take a lot of pictures, and I did that when I was there, shot a lot of the games I covered and still do. So, but they were good years when I worked there. Like I said, the Zeller era, and then also the, you know, Barre was good. WC had some good girls teams in those times. You know, North Davies, a good softball, good basketball teams. You know, we were really fortunate in this area to have strong high school sports programs to cover, and that makes it a lot more interesting.
I think if you talk to, I know with Dave Crooks moving up north, he just says there's not the interest in some of these things, you know, that we've got in our area. I mean, there's a real focus on local sports athletics and some of the games that are going on in Hatchets and Barre Eve and North Davies, and just a lot more interest than you have in most other areas.
So. Yeah, it's true. It's really good to see that. You know, you see strong interest in Barre Eve and their basketball program, and when the Hatchets are good, there's interest here. North Davies has had their moments. You know, Ligoti, when they're good, you know, they have interest too. So it's good to see that. It's good for the kids, for the young people who are playing the sports to see that in the stands.
Absolutely, it's a lot of fun. Well, I know you're a guy of many interests and many talents. Just full disclosure, we have been on a trivia team together, and I think you were probably the all-star on that team.
I was pretty good. I had a good team. I had some really good folks on there on 2 years. I wasn't able to do it this year, that's fun. We've done it before, and you know, it's interesting. But I had plenty of good teammates though to help out. So,
well, I guess, you know, my point is, you know a lot of stuff. You know a lot of people. I'm curious, and I know you've been involved with the local Republican Party. We're going to talk about politics here today, Mike, but tell us on a bigger scale, let's talk a little bit about a national race that's in Indiana, the Republican race for the U.S. Senate, and we've got three main candidates. I mean, there's a number of candidates, but three mm-hmm. major ones. Maybe tell me a little bit about that race and what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think it's going to be very interesting. It's been pretty hotly contested. If you watch, at least where I'm at, the way they get the Terre Haute TV market, it seems like, and a lot of ads are popping up on there. But you've got Mike Braun, who's a former state representative, represented much of Daviess County during his time in the state house from Jasper. And then you've got two congressmen who had to give up their seats in the House to run for this seat.
So they're committed. They want to win.
They're committed, yeah.
And if I understand correctly, if they don't win, they're no longer in Washington, D.C. They're going to have to go do something else.
That or become a lobbyist or wait 2 years and run again. But, yeah, Luke Messer and Todd Rokita both, like I say, their seats are being contended for by multiple candidates in each district, in each race. So they'll be out, and they won't have a chance to run again for 2 years for that at least. I'm sure they'll land on their feet, but if either one of them doesn't get the nomination. But it is going to be hotly contested because, in part, the national pundits all say that Joe Donnelly, the Democrat, is one of the most vulnerable Democrats up for a re-election this year in the United States Senate. So everyone wants to try to get in on the Republican side and get a shot.
And it's my impression, just what I've heard, this is going to be the most expensive Senate race, perhaps of all time, but perhaps also the most expensive primary of all time. And you know, we're getting right down to the wire here. You see commercials all the time. You see signs out. You see stuff on social media. I mean, who's the prohibitive favorite? Who should we expect to see coming out the other side?
I don't know that there's a prohibitive favorite right now in a three-way race like that. With all of them are going to gain some support. I would be really surprised if one of them could get to 50% in Indiana. That doesn't matter. The winner moves on. It's not a thing where the top two would go to a runoff like some states. But it seems like from what I'm hearing and from what I'm kind of reading that Mike Braun may be in the lead a little bit. Being from southwestern Indiana, he's not a sitting United States congressman, he might have been the underdog. But I know Mike, and Mike has worked his rear end off in this race. He's all over the state every week while running his own business in Jasper, and he's working very hard. And I think his message seems to be getting through, but the polling I've seen seems to think that he's definitely got a shot.
That's amazing. I mean, you know, 4 years ago, you didn't really even know. I mean, I didn't really know Mike Braun at all, and now he is on the cusp of going into the Senate. I mean, assuming he wins a primary and assuming he can defeat Donnelly. I mean, how do you think he got there? I mean, a little bit of money or what?
Well, money, it takes money is what the, you know, is the mother's milk in politics. That's all there is to it. In Mike's case, he's using a lot of his own money. He's raising money from other sources, but he's mostly putting his own money into the campaign. He's a very wealthy businessman. He's built his own business in Jasper, and it does very well, and he's committed to this. He announced last year he wasn't going to run for re-election as a state representative, and then ended up resigning before this session started this year to concentrate to full-time on his campaign. And so he's really putting a lot of his own putting his money where his mouth is. He's putting a lot of his own resources into this race.
That's amazing. It's fun to talk about. So Messer, Rokita, I mean, you would have had to have thought at the start of this that they were going to be, one of those two was going to come out of it. I mean, it still looks like, at least in my estimation, I think you got to put money on a congressman, although it does seem like Braun has, I mean, he's really shot upwards in the polls. And I mean, I got to bet on a congressman if I'm betting. But I mean, they've made some mistakes. They seem to have some missteps, and it seems like Braun's taken advantage of that.
Well, the dirty laundry has come out, you know, on all sides, and you never know where it's coming from, but it's there. Right. So, you know, next thing, when politics gets heated and gets competitive like this, that's going to happen. So
it happens. We see it all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're going to get to talk a little bit about your race here later. And just for our listeners, I'm on with Mike Myers, who is a sitting county councilman. You're president of the council, is that correct?
This year, yes.
Yeah. And so Mike's president of the council. He's running in a primary, a Republican primary, for this seat, and he is being opposed by Dan Myers, and we were not able to get Dan Myers on the show. He politely declined to participate, so we're actually going to be on with Mike for 20 minutes, or the full show instead of just a half show like we've done with some of the other folks. Let me ask you this, Mike. How is this race impacted by stuff that happens on the national scale? And I mean, how does the Senate race get impacted by stuff in Washington, D.C.? How are the local races and your races impacted?
I'm not sure that local races get impacted by that too much now, as far as that Senate race and even congressional races. You know, what happens in Washington, D.C., in the White House, in Congress, definitely those things affect those kinds of races. I don't think locally it really has as much of an impact. Locally, you get into different kinds of issues. You know, like for instance, at the national level, abortion is a big issue and so forth between pro-life and pro-choice people. You know, at this level, that's not an issue around here, really. I mean, we don't have much effect on that. You know, around here we're talking about finances and county government and things like that, and it's different issues, different topics, and so I don't think it has much effect on this race or even a county level race, and maybe not even to some degree, maybe even a state race like a state representative or state senate. But what happens in Washington definitely affects congressional races. It definitely affects the Senate races, and you know, they can have a big impact on it.
I think it's interesting stuff. I agree with you. It probably won't impact us a whole lot. But I do think you'll probably have more turnout than you otherwise would, because you've got someone like Braun running. It could move the needle a little bit for our local turnout.
Oh, good, yeah.
And, you know, obviously there's a couple of other big local races. I don't know if you want to speak to those at all. I mean, we've got a sheriff's race going on. We've got some other council races. We've got some other things of local interest. You care to comment on any of the other local races?
Well, other than just to say, I think the sheriff's race in particular will drive turnout. Turnout is usually pretty decent in Davies County. It was in the 2016 presidential election. And I think we'll have solid turnout on May the 8th, particularly because we're a strong Republican county for the most part, and the races are all on the Republican side, except for, I think, there's a Democratic state house race in 63. But other than that, the races are all on the Republican side. So if you're a Republican in Davies County, you've got a lot of reasons to get out and vote.
Yeah. You think we'll have the same turnout we saw in 14?
Might be. I'm trying to remember what was on the ballot in 14. I know I was, but I wasn't opposed that year.
State Senate. We had a state rep race.
That's right, yeah.
We had a commissioner's race.
Yeah. Senator Bass was running, yeah. Yeah, I don't know that the sheriff's race that year was as hot as it may be this year, but yeah, that's right. We did have some races. So it could be as strong as, or maybe even better than what it was in 14.
That's interesting. I think it'll be good turnout for sure. So, Mike, let's talk about your race in particular. How many years have you served on council?
I'm finishing up my second term. So I was first elected in 2010, took office in 2011, and I was reelected in 14.
Very good. And this will be your third term then. Why are you running for council again?
Well, I just feel like that, first of all, I've got experience. When I was first elected, Mike Sprinkle, who's been on council for many years, told me, he said, well, it takes you really 2 years to get a good handle on everything, you know, and I would probably stretch that myself to 4 years. It takes time to learn the ins and outs, and even now there are things that come up that we don't deal with very often. I have to refresh myself on, you know, and go back and find out about. But it's just a matter of, I think the experience is there. I've got two terms in, and I have a good idea what's going on. I've been council president now. This is the third time in 8 years. One of the big issues that we've faced is the annex, that big hole in the ground northeast of the courthouse. And
it seems to be going pretty well right now. I mean, obviously, weather's wasn't cooperative at first, but it seems, I mean, that project seems to be going reasonably well.
Yeah, it's going well. We've talked about that going back to my first term. The commissioners and the council have worked on that and discussed that. We had one architect that brought us some plans that were pretty expensive, and we're like, no, we can't do that. So we put it on the back burner for a while and looked at it again, because we have a lot of space issues at the courthouse. If you think about it, and I'll use this analogy real quick, on Facebook, there's a page where it says, if you grew up in Washington, Indiana, you remember, or something like that. Someone posted here recently a picture, an old postcard, a Christmastime postcard that they had found. And it was a split-level picture on the front. It was sent out by a Main Street business. And at the top of that picture is a picture of Main Street. And you can instantly tell that it's Main Street, Washington, Indiana, but you can tell also that it was taken in the 1950s. There's a nice red car sitting in the front on the street there. I thought it was a 57 Chevy. My dad said, no, it's a 55. I don't know old cars.
You didn't fight.
So the top picture is, automatically you can tell that's a 1950s era shot of Main Street. Really cool picture. The bottom picture of the split picture is of the Davies County Courthouse, taken in the late 50s. The thing is, that bottom picture of the courthouse, other than a couple of the trees that have been moved and removed, you could take that exact same picture today because it looks the same. We're operating a 21st century county government in a population base that has expanded greatly over the years, and it is continuing to expand. A recent study came out that said Davies County is going to be one of the few rural counties in the state that can expect increased growth in population over the next few years. So we're operating a 21st century county government with all the technology involved in a building that was built in 1928 and 29. And really, other than some superficial things inside, new furniture and so forth, is essentially the same, other than an accessible entrance we put on the east side a few years ago. It's the same building it was. And we really needed more space because we need more people working in county government to accommodate the increased population.
The demands that you get from federal and state, mm-hmm. and just different things that have to be done.
And so we really needed the space because we've got several offices that are outside the courthouse. Our surveyor and our coroner don't even have a space in the courthouse to work out of. So we looked at it and looked at it. We finally got some plans and got a plan together that we thought we could afford. And we worked on that like the last two years really, really intently. And last fall came up with a plan to got a building together and came up with a plan to pay for it. And we broke ground back in February, early March, one or the other. They really just started working in earnest in the last month. That's a project that will be hopefully completed sometime around this time or a little later next year. And I'd like to see that through. I've been involved in that from the ground up since we started, and I'd like to see that project through. And then we need to look at the courthouse itself, because just alleviating the space pressure is one thing. We've still got a building that's almost 100 years old that needs to be looked at. And once we move the offices out of the courthouse that are going to go to the annex, it will truly become a courthouse then, with the courts and the offices that are connected to the courts. And then we need to look at it and see that. And I'd like to see that through as well.
Wonderful. So I think you make a lot of good points there. I mean, speak to the cost of that, how that works. I mean, are we going to see an increase in taxes due to a brand new building?
No, we will not. And I think that's one of the remarkable things about our county government, our county finances. Going back to the previous major project the county did, the jail, the security center. The security center was financed by a special income tax approved by the General Assembly. I was not on council at the time, but it was. That tax did so well for paying off the security center. Two or three years ago, we looked at things and realized we could refinance the security center and then get the ability to pay that off years in advance and then have the ability to end that tax. So last year, the council was able to pay off the security center several years early, saving taxpayers thousands of dollars of interest. At that time, then, when we refinanced a few years ago, we got the option to pay it off early, and then we could go to the General Assembly. Actually, we just voted to end the special tax that was supposed to run through, I think it was 2022 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So we paid that off last fall. We voted to end that tax effective the first of this year. We did not have to raise taxes to build the new county government annex. In fact, we were able to fund that building using reserves and some bonding. Without raising taxes, projections show we'll have more than enough income to pay those bond payments each year that they're due. We actually cut taxes and built a new county government, financed new county government annex building.
Pretty remarkable.
It is. I would be hard-pressed to think to find another county in the state that could both cut taxes and finance that building. There might be some out there that could build a building without having to finance it with tax increases, but not too many that I think could be able to cut taxes and finance a new
simultaneously.
Building.
Simultaneously. Right. Absolutely. Well, that's really, I mean, that's obviously, you being president of the council, that's a significant accomplishment. Very impressive to, you know, I don't know that there are any other places that could do that, cut taxes, build something that large. What else do you see as accomplishments in your term, and what projects do you still want to see get completed?
Man, I want to go back to that real quick. I'm president of the council now. I wasn't last year. I had been previously. It's all of the council working together and with the commissioners as well, particularly on the annex project, you know. And the financial health of the county goes back, too, to the office holders in each of the offices, treasurer, recorder, auditor, sheriff, you name it, all of them, watching their budgets and making sure we spend the taxpayer money wisely. So it's a collaborative effort. I'm the guy that was president when we put the shovels in the ground up there. That doesn't mean I did anything more special than anyone else. But certainly it was a proud moment for me.
Absolutely.
Like I say, the other things, excuse me, it's just a matter of just making sure on a month-to-month basis, and particularly at budget time in August, that we watch over the county money and make sure it's being spent wisely. You know, there are certain things that are out of our control. Like I talked about increasing population a few years ago when the county hit, I think it was 30,000 people, in a population of 30,000. The state mandated us to add a position. You know, we try to watch adding employees to the county payroll each year and make sure they're needed. But a few years ago, we had to add, the state mandated us to add a county enforcement person to go around and check like scales and weights and things like it. Weights and measures person, they call it. So we had to do that. And when we get to 30,000 in population, we've got to do that. Things like that. There are certain things you deal with that you have to do by state or federal codes, and you have to abide by.
Right.
But we just try to watch the county finances, question why things are wanting to be spent, making sure we have enough money on hand. We're fortunate we have surpluses. And we have surpluses we can do things with, like the annex. You know, there may be other projects coming up down the road. There are some that are being discussed out there I haven't heard much about directly yet, like the sidewalk project on 57 between the city and the county. The commissioners are speaking about that now. We haven't really been brought into the loop on that one yet. But at some point, if they want money for it, they'll have to bring us into the loop.
They have to. The council is the fiscal body, right?
Right. We are the fiscal body.
And that's a 7-member board.
7-member board. There are 4 district seats which are up for election this year. I am in District 3. Pat Dan has District 4. Dave Smith 1, which is the northern part of the area. Jackie Graber, who's not running for re-election, has 2. Now the difference in those is you have to live in that district to run in that district, and you only will vote for the person representing your district. That's one more thing I've mentioned, is the fact that, you know, my opponent and I have the same last name. We're not related. But his name will be first on the ballot. Mine will be second. So if you're supporting me, be sure to get the number 2 Myers. But you will only see our names if you live in that District 3, which is Washington Precincts 4 and 11 through 15, and then Reeve and Harrison Townships. It's different than the county commissioners. There are 3 county commissioners, and you have to live in your county commissioner district to run for it. But the whole county votes on all 3 county commissioner districts. So it's a little confusing to people, because, like I said, you'll see every commissioner name every time they run, which there's only 1 on the ballot this year. But in the county council districts, it's just if you live in that district, will you see that name. So if you live in one of those precincts I mentioned, you'll see my name and my opponent's name.
Perfect.
Now, there are 3 at-large county council seats, which they can live anywhere in the county.
And those won't be for 2 years.
Those are 2 years, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. 2 years from now. So the 4... district-based seats are this year,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
And in 2 years, you'll see the at-large seats.
Right, right.
Okay.
And the at-large seats are different, like I say, than the commissioners, because you can live anywhere in the county and run for any of them. They could be the next door to each other, and everyone votes for them.
Absolutely. Well, we are going to have to start wrapping up here. Mm-hmm. I guess last couple things I really want to talk to you about, and this has been an interesting show today. We've got to talk with someone a little bit longer than normally. Sometimes we have to just get right mm-hmm. to it. But talk a little bit about your core values for the primary voters. You know, obviously it's a Republican primary, so you're going to have conservative Republicans generally voting in that. And then maybe just close us out by telling us, why are you the best candidate for the county council role?
Well, my core values is I'm a lifelong Republican. I've been a precinct committeeman for 20 years. I'm, definitely have been involved in the party and committed to the Republican Party. I'm very much an anti-tax, low-tax person. Like I said, I would never vote for a tax increase. Had it required a tax increase to build the annex, there would not be a gigantic hole across the street from the courthouse right now. We would figure out a way to make the courthouse work and deal with that. I've never taken a pay raise in my time on council. I don't do this for the money. It doesn't pay that much to begin with, but I've never taken a pay raise, and never will, never voted for a pay raise for myself. Like I say, would never vote for a tax increase. I would like to find ways to keep taxes low. I just feel like that, I've got that good conservative financial sense that comes from growing up in this area and being around here and being around, business people. I've been a small businessman now for 25 years, and I just feel like that the experience is there. I think I've told people, I think the proof is in the pudding, what I've done for 8 years. I have a record in office, and I'm proud of it. And I think if people have been watching and paying attention, I think they'll like that and choose me again.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate your time coming on today, Mike. And again, like we said, this is about a county council race, and you are opposed in that race. Your opponent declined to come on the show, so we gave you 20 some odd minutes today to make your case, and we really appreciate it.
Again, thank you for having me, and thank WMW for having this show.
Wonderful. Thank you. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington and Ligoti. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. on 4-Star Country, The Journal 95.9 FM, 1580 a.m. You can also listen to a copy of today's program and past shows by visiting WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Swartzentruber, inviting you to tune in every Saturday morning at 8:35 a.m. on Memories 107.9 WAMW, and each Sunday morning on 95.9 and 1580 WAMW, as we focus on the community.